Welcome to Five Star Radio. Consider this your warning. Hey there, cats, kittens, I'm Mike Coughlin. This is Five Star Radio. This is HalfGuarded.com. And we're coming to you live from a neighborhood in the suburbs of Chicago as dogs pee on things. It's a beautiful day. It's the first day we've had here in forever where it's not hot. Like, I could probably walk the bastards here for hours and they'd be okay. They weren't out of shape. And if that was not, well, I guess I could probably do it and just talk. But no, actually, we released on Friday a podcast where I talked, inspired by the TV show The Nick, oddly enough, about refugees from Syria, and more generally just the idea of immigration patterns and such. And then I started, like, reading more and more about the Syrian refugee thing. And that's what I'm going to talk about. That's what I want to talk about. That's what I feel like talking about. Because I felt like I was going to write something, and I probably am, but in case I don't, I'm also on board. I'm killing time until Invictus starts in a few hours. We've had a hell of a week. I think that this week here at HalfGuarded.com has been one of our biggest weeks. I think I heard it may have been our second biggest week ever, and that was despite basically losing all of Monday. But I think if you look at the website, the quality of work we've done is outstanding. We've had some great writing, diverse topics. The only thing we didn't really have any, well, we didn't do any game-changing MMA pieces, besides my brother trolling Fyodor fans by saying that he's an overrated bag of shit, which is the funniest fucking thing I ever heard. But no. I'm looking at the Syrian refugee thing, because it's been in the news a lot more lately. And I'm trying to figure out, like, why. I was curious as to what spurs news. Sometimes things are very obvious, you know. 9/11 happened, so all of a sudden we start talking about that. Duh. But the civil war in Syria has been going on for a while. And there's been a lot of, I guess you would call it ethnic cleansing. I know there's been reports of chemical weapons being used on their own people, and so on and so forth. But again, it's been going on for some time. I was like, why is it that all of a sudden I'm seeing this in the news? Is this a concerted effort? As somebody who's, you know, learning more and more about marketing because of the website, you know, so I get a little cynical. I'm like, is this some group pushing this? Why am I hearing about this? Why has this become such a big deal? Why are the British talking about this so much? And from my understanding, a lot of it comes down to it. I want to say it's the Copenhagen Accord. Don't quote me on that. But basically, there were some rules that, along the lines of, if you seek asylum in a country and you're turned down, like you're turned down from all the other countries, and because of the Eurozone, which is not necessarily Europe and it's not necessarily the EU, but it's part of it, and because of the nature of shared borders, they kind of respect, like some countries have like basically open borders between one another. And so it was like, something happened, some country just said, fuck it, we're just going to process these things on our own, we don't care, we're going to take in refugees. And something obviously happened in Syria, because there's been a real big uptick in as far as the number of refugees that are coming. Is that a wild cat? Looks like it. Coming into Europe itself. Because I was looking at, like, I saw this great infographic thingy from time.com, which I'm going to steal, label, back-end it, try to get it listed for HalfGuarded. Because it's okay when you're helping people. I don't know, isn't that what Mengele said? Anyways, and they were showing where all the refugees were going, and most of them were going where you would expect, which is nearby countries. And Syria doesn't share natural borders with anybody in Europe, depending, I think, upon how you just determine Turkey. And it's also my understanding that Turkey has done a great job as far as taking in a lot of refugees and helping these poor people. But what really hammered it to me, I mean, and some of the migration patterns were okay, they're going to Egypt and Northern Africa and things like that, and there were some stories about them, I guess a bunch of refugees trying to get come into Europe by boat, and some of them are dying and things like that. But what struck me, and what really kind of just was like this eye-opener, and it just happened, I didn't, you know, wasn't even thinking about 9/11 and all that shit in the past 10 years, 14 years that have followed since, is that I think there's like 12 million people in Syria, something like that, I don't know. And I think it's like 6 or 7 million people, and they say they're displaced, fucking have run away from their home. Things are so shitty, they're like, fuck this, we have to leave or we're going to die. And I know it's like 250,000 of them, by estimate, had gone to Iraq. Now, Syria is a shithole. It's been a really, really big shithole for a long time. It has a nut job running it. I think that we, and a lot of this is a result of the Arab Spring from 2012, I want to say. And I think it was one of those things where everybody in the West looked at it and were like, we don't know what the fuck to do. Because this dude's nuts. But the opposition to him is also fucking nuts. Like it's like Nazis versus Nazis in Western terms. Like there is no good option here. And so we've kind of been like, shit. Plus there's been war fatigue because we're all like, well, we just did that whole thing in Iraq and Afghanistan and we kind of got that to a point where we can walk away and not feel like we did too bad of a job. So, yeah, yay. But, again, people are fleeing to Iraq, a country which in the past 10 years has been completely destroyed and kind of rebuilt and then destroyed and rebuilt and destroyed and rebuilt. And I think it's kind of stable-ish. It was probably more stable under Saddam Hussein because just like Iran is a stable country, it's good to live there. And my guess is if things continue as they are in Iraq, in the long run, it's a net good what happened there. A crazy nut job is gone, and there's some degree of self-determination by the people. It's also ripe for, some sort of fucking another nut job to come into play, because that's life. But yeah, Turkey, you know, you take your hats off to them. They're taking in a lot of refugees from Syria. And there's been some criticism, I think, of Islamic countries. Why aren't you doing more? And one of them said like something like, we don't like these people, they're ugly. Or something like that. At the end of the day, it has nothing to do with religion, of course. It's just bigotry. It's just, they ain't us. We don't want them. And some of it's just a practical reality of infrastructure. And there is something to that. I've seen a lot of them are trying to get into Scandinavia. Because Scandinavians, of which I'm part descendant, very, very nice people. Super duper nice. They're the ones that made socialism work. All 6 million of them in Norway. And that'll be interesting because I don't know how many they've taken in. But man, again, 6 million people, that's smaller than the Chicagoland area. That's an entire fucking country for Norway. My guess is that the entirety of Scandinavia, Sweden, Norway, Finland, all that shit, is probably smaller in total population than the New York metropolitan area. I'd be willing to bet on that. Unless Sweden has a huge number of people. But you could easily see where if like, they took in like a million refugees, that would change the entire dynamics of the country. Not saying for good or for bad, but all of a sudden you take a million people who weren't there before, holy shit, like, if all of a sudden there was like a million new babies born in Sweden in a year, you'd be like, uh-oh, what the fuck just happened there? But what got me about this, I guess, hey, it was them, everybody going to Iraq. I'm like, it's Iraq. And again, acknowledging that it's better now than it was before, it's still, who the fuck flees to Iraq? First of all, nobody flees their country. That's why I've always, it's just long-standing pet peeve of mine when I see people, my fellow Americans, and they're like, I'm Irish, I'm Irish. It's like, fuck off. Stop bragging about your ancestry. Your ancestral homeland sucked ass. Maybe it's fine now. Ireland's probably very nice to live in now. But in the 1800s, when millions and millions and millions of Irishmen and women fled to come to America, it was a desolate shithole. It was just a horrible place to live. And you know it has to be a shithole because think about where you live. Most people don't move. Most people don't move from their hometown or their home region, let alone to an entire fucking country where they had no guarantees. I mean, these people, my ancestors moved to America when there was zero safety net. It was come here on a hope and a promise. And they came here and they were probably exploited and all that shit. And it was still better. So whenever I see people leaving their country to go to another country, to me, it's generally a sign. When it's in a mass exodus, there's going to be people here and there, individuals. You know, maybe I just want to move to France because I really like France. It has nothing to say necessarily about the quality of America. Maybe I just like the French culture. But when you see hundreds of thousands or millions of people, it's like when Mexicans come across the border. I understand why it's an issue. It should be an issue. There's 10 million people living in America who never got permission to come here. They don't have fucking passports. They don't have, like, they're not citizens. They just showed up. That's a lot of people. Not a ton, but enough. Enough that you go, oh, huh. It's like 3% of the population, I think. I can't do math. And you can't just let everybody in because a nation, by definition, is always defined by its borders. If you don't have a border, you don't have a country. That's what it is. That's why they fucking fight over the most pointless horse shit in the world of, no, we get this. No, you're down 30 feet. You're up 30 feet. Especially becomes important when there's like, you know, they discover oil or something. But with Syria, again, these are refugees. These are not immigrants. Immigrants are people that can, you could probably say, made a rational choice. They looked at their country and they said, I'm okay-ish here, but I think I could be much better there. Again, if I moved to England, I would be an immigrant. I would be looking at it, weighing the pros and cons, going, you know what? I think I'll be better off there. But if I got rejected, okay, I'm still American, whatever. These are refugees. These are not people looking to, you know, improve their life. These are people looking to keep their lives. They're not immigrants. The refugee issue should never be conflated in any way, shape, or form with that of immigration. And anybody that tries to tie the two together, I think does a disservice to everyone. Because it's not an issue of immigration. When as far as I understand, the UKIP party in the United Kingdom talks about not liking immigrants and stuff like that, that has nothing to do with Syrian refugees. If you want to be against, you know, immigrants showing up because you think that they're going to take jobs or whatever, they'll undermine the infrastructure of a country and flood the market with cheaper labor, fine. May or may not be true, whatever. Syrian refugees just don't want to die. They're willing to go to Iraq. They're willing to move closer to Iran. They're willing to go into Africa, Egypt, and other parts of Africa. And the more you're in Africa, the more it sucks, because Africa sucks. There's like no place in Africa that's good. You don't want to live in Africa. You don't want to live in Syria either, but guess what? That's your home. If you're in a place and that's your home, at least you know the ins and outs of how to get around it. You kind of go, okay, I know what the bad neighborhood is, the good neighborhood is. And you built your infrastructure, you got your family, your friends. You remember the first time that you kissed somebody's over there or whatever. You remember, your life is someplace. And for people to just grab shit, and they're just grabbing anything they can. Just bag of clothes and their kids, and they're just running. And they don't even give a shit if they're getting separated. Just get us out of this place, or we're going to die. Like, that's it. And there's a way to take in refugees. And, I mean, I see these camps that they're building for them. Which is fine. I mean, we're always a little hesitant, I think, in the Western world to build camps for large groups of people because America did internment camps with the Japanese, which, realistically, I'm not saying they were great living conditions or anything like that, but for a bunch of people that were, you know, racist in the 1940s, they probably did the best they could within the mind of a racist. And, you know, the internment camps were not, they were not obviously camps like the Nazis created. But again, taking a group of ethnic people, a specific group of ethnic people, and putting them all into a big camp in Europe, still, conjures up some like, ooh, are we sure we want to do that? But there's nothing else you can do. You can't just let them roam free in the city, because what the fuck are they going to do? They don't have any job. They don't even get nowhere to go. So it's a good thing that they're building these, well, let's not call it camps. It's called a settlement. I can't say settlement. Sounds too much like Israel and Palestine. Towns. We're building them nice little towns. Hoovervilles. For those who understand American history. And that's fine. You know, that's what you do. You build a place. It's semi-temporary. And hopefully the crisis gets figured out. And then they can go home. And that's the thing. I don't know what comes next. I don't know if once they're there, if they're all going to just go, you know. I came here because I didn't want to die, but I'm not going to lie. England's a lot fucking better than Syria. And maybe my reasons for coming here were one, but my reasons for staying are another. And I can't stop that. And to me, that's a problem. That's a bridge you deal, that you cross that bridge when you get to it. And you'll have to deal with it. And maybe it is appropriate to say, hey, took care of you, got you through the bad part, you gotta go. Come on, boys, let's go. And I know that people don't necessarily always want to say things like that. Maybe it is racist. I don't think it is, but it's kind of like the idea that, again, from a historical common law perspective, if you are, if you're out, like you're wandering around, and all of a sudden, a big storm hits, you have the legal right to go into somebody's house. Particularly, especially if that person's not there. Like, you can break the door and go inside to save your life. You are not committing a criminal trespass. Now, you are responsible for the damage that you do, which, that makes sense, because the other poor guy shouldn't have to pay for what you did to survive, but you have the right. Society, historical, again, common law is the law that's the history of America and England and English-speaking countries, basically. It's what we follow here. And the idea was, life prevails over property. No matter what happens, you always get to live. Now, I don't think it necessarily always extends to forcing you to take someone in. You have some right to autonomy as far as keeping the world away from you. But there are allowances made. And so think of that on a grander scale. That's kind of what's going on with Europe. And so once things have settled down in Syria, if it's actually safe for them to go back, I don't think it's unfair or improper if somebody wants to say, hey, you got to go back. I don't know. Here's the thing. The real problem is I have no idea how long this shit will last. If we knew it was going to last a year or two, that'd be one thing. Come on. Hey. But this shit could last forever. Well, not forever, but it could be 10 years. And you're some kid, say you're 5 years old, and you come to England from Syria, right? You're 5 years old. By the time you're 10 years later, you're 15. You're not a fucking Syrian. You're English. Or you've adapted to that culture. My guess is you probably speak English and you like crisps and tea. I'll never get over the fact that basically every English person I've ever met actually drinks tea. Like, not like tea like I drink necessarily, but like they actually have like tea time. They go out for tea and shit like that. I'm like, what the fuck? Seriously? But again, at the end of the day, stop acting like these are immigrants. These are human beings that don't want to die, and that's it. You don't have to be. You could be Catholic, Jewish, Lutheran, evangelical, Calvinist, all four of you, Mormon or atheist. It does not matter. I think it's fair to say everybody in the world should agree. Nobody dies. We shall not let people die if we can avoid it. Especially in this type of instance where they're not even necessarily looking for anything other than they're not looking for you to help them live. Like, this isn't somebody saying, hey, give me free food because I'm hungry. This isn't even somebody saying, hey, give me free healthcare or free housing or any of the other things that people may look at and say, hey, we need to figure out how this works as a society because there may be limitations financially in how we do things, whatever. No. These are people who are simply saying, please help me not die. Don't help me live. Just help me not get killed by a fucking psycho. And I think it's fair to say that we can all agree. And America said, oh, we're taking like 10,000 of them, whatever. And I don't know what's feasible for America. I mean, we could probably take in all of them and it really wouldn't matter. We're such a big country, so much fucking money. You just spread them out and we wouldn't even know. I think there's probably a logistical issue as far as getting them here. And here's the thing. If you're Syrian, you may not necessarily want to come here. Maybe you do want to stay closer to home because you do see this as a temporary deal. You're like, America's nice, but I'm really hoping that, I think it's Bashar Assad. I'm really hoping that, he's dead soon and I can go back home because, my TV's there or something like that. That's how I think. I'm sure, whatever the fucking Syrian 32-year-old male equivalent of the thing that he treasured, that he likes a lot, that doesn't actually matter in life is. For me, it's a TV. For him, it's favorite stick. That was terribly racist. Not really racist, but stupid. They got a favorite TV. Right? Everybody's got a TV. Like, maybe not in Africa, but I imagine a lot of people in Syria have TVs. So they want their TV. They want their shit back. I think it's fair to say that most of them are looking to get back. They just, right now, they don't want to die. So, fuck you, Europe. Let them in. Again, this is not people trying to immigrate. This is not people looking to permanently start over. That may happen as a result. And like I said before, cross that bridge when you get to it. But in the meantime, just let the fucking people come so that they don't have to die. That's it. That's it. They're not looking for a five-star meal. They're looking for a breadcrumb. But the crust that you cut off. Because your bastard kid is picky. And he's stupid. And little Jimmy doesn't know how to fucking eat. Doesn't understand that the fucking crust is fine. So help the fucking Syrian refugees. And just be done with it. And yeah, it'll cost you money. But guess what? You fuckers spend so much money on bullshit anyways. Left wing, right wing. You're all spending money on something. You're all spending money on something that's probably not super important, objectively. Like that, when in 100 years, people look back and go, you probably didn't need to spend all that money. You might think it's really, really important, but maybe you don't subsidize, you reduce the subsidies on school textbooks by 10% or something. I don't know what the fuck you would do. And you raise taxes on rich old white guys, which I fit one of those criteria. I am white. I am not rich, and I don't think I'm old, although I feel old. Dog, come. Dog, roll in the grass, you freaking weirdo. That's how you end a plea to people. Probably 50, 100 people to listen to this. Whatever, I don't give a shit. Fucking help Syria. There's something you don't hear an American say every day, right? Just help people. They're going to die. They're going to die. Help people not die. That's it. Unless they're Armenian. That's totally different. Because they really probably brought it on themselves. So anyways, we'll be back with usual MMA shit. We have Bellator coming up with a huge show, kind of, if you're a mark. That's coming up on Saturday. We're gonna have all kinds of stuff from this last week, from this upcoming week, and from last, I think last week's writing, top to bottom, what we produced on the website, was the best quality content we've ever done. So, until we meet again in a couple days, probably Tuesday, I will remain your humble host, Mike Coughlin, for,
yep,
5-Star Radio, saying to one and all, good fight, good night, et au revoir, mes amis, and love each other.
I was a 5-star man before the internet, and I'm damn sure a 5-star man now, okay? I just gotta drop the dead weight so I can shine.